Okay, last week we were looking at what Paul has to say about us being dead in our transgressions because of our sin, and then being made alive in Christ. And he talks about the fact that we are saved through grace, that we are saved by grace through faith, and that it is not from ourselves, but rather it is from Christ, because he doesn't not want us to be considering that we have done it ourselves. He says it's not by works, so that so that anyone can boast. So he's wanting us to understand that salvation is a work of God. Okay? It is through his grace that we are saved. Because God is good, he gives us that gift of grace. It is not something that we have the ability to work for or to earn. All right? And then he talks about the fact that we are created by God to do works. Right? Verse 10 there. So God has work for us to do. But one of the distinctions that we made is that we are doing the work because we are saved, because we belong to God, not in order to be saved. And there's a big difference between those two. All right, so in verse 11, he starts out with that word, therefore. Okay, in other words, based on all these things that he just got finished talking about, the fact that we were dead in transgressions, made alive in Christ, we're saved through grace, and we got work to do, all right? Therefore, remember that formerly, you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men, remember that at that time, you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. So, here Paul is, and again, he's addressing, in the church in Ephesus is made up primarily of Gentiles. Okay? Now, just so that we make sure we understand, who are Gentiles?
People outside of Christ.
No, not people outside of Christ.
Not
anyone who's not a Jew is a Gentile, okay? Because there's really only two groups of people in the world. There's Jews and there's Gentiles, all right? So Gentiles are those who are not Jews, all right? And basically, so you look at what he's discussing in this part, describing their condition. All right? Describing their condition before Christ. All right? So he's specifically talking about Gentiles who are referred to as the uncircumcised. All right? By those who call themselves the circumcision. So what is circumcision? What is that all about? Because this is a distinction, is it not, between Jews and Gentiles? So what is the circumcision here? This that he's talking about. He later talks about being circumcision of the heart, but this is, as he describes, a circumcision done by the hands of men. This is the physical cutting off of the foreskin of the penis that God used as a sign of the covenant for the Israelites. Remember, when he made the covenant with Abraham, that was one of the things that he gave Abraham. Said, this is what everyone has to do. Okay? All of your descendants. Okay? So therefore, anyone who is a descendant of Abraham, they are circumcised. Anyone who is not is likely not going to get circumcised, okay? Why would they? All right? And so this is the clear distinction between Jews and Gentiles. And Paul brings this out in this. That's how they were called. Think about some of the references from the Old Testament where that reference is made to Gentiles. They are uncircumcised. Okay? You remember David when he went up against Goliath? Did he not refer to him as an uncircumcised Philistine? You see, things of that nature. So that's how the Jews recognized and understood. And they were a separate people. And that's really what Paul is talking about here, is that there is a distinction that has been made between the Jews and everybody else. Okay? And formerly, he says, you, the Gentiles, right, that you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. Let's look at each of those different statements that he makes concerning the Gentiles. What do each of those things really say about them and their relationship in terms of the Jews? The difference here between them. Right? First of all, he says you were separate from Christ. Why were Gentiles separate from Christ? Any idea? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Judy.
They live under the same covenant. They were a part of the select people or the Jewish people.
Right. They were not part of the Abrahamic covenant, were they? At least at this point. They were intended to be part of that and would become, mm-hmm. all right? But outside of Christ, they have no part in that promise, right? Everybody with me so far? Okay. All right. So they are separate from Christ. They are excluded from citizenship in Israel. Okay? So they're not part of the Israelite nation, are they? Again, that's the distinction. You're either Jew or you're a Gentile. And they are separated from citizenship in Israel. Now, could a Gentile become an Israelite? Yes, absolutely. They are referred to as proselytes. They could be converted over to Judaism. Guess what they had to do in order to do that? They had to be circumcised. The males did, okay? And then they had to keep all of the law of Moses and so forth. So yes, a Gentile could, but without that, they could not be a part of citizenship in Israel. All right? So again, there's a distinction, and that's really what Paul is emphasizing in all these things. He's making, there has always been a distinction between Jews and Gentiles, and these are the conditions that they were in. So they were excluded from citizenship in Israel. They were foreigners to the covenant of the promise. Okay? Now, we mentioned a moment ago, they were excluded from that promise, right, that God made to Abraham. Practically speaking, they were excluded, right? Because they were included in the promise, were they not? What were the words of the promise? Through you, all nations of the earth would be blessed. So that was God's intention, all right? But without Christ, they are still excluded. Okay? And so they have been excluded from the covenant. All right? And then he says they are without hope and without God in the world. Okay? Why are they hopeless? Okay, all right. Typically, so often we read in the Old Testament specifically, some in the New Testament also, we see that the Gentiles, their religious practices, for the most part, included what? Idol worship. They worshiped all kinds of gods. They worshiped anything and everything as gods, didn't they? So Jehovah God, though some recognized that, yes, Jehovah was a god, they oftentimes and most times did not worship Jehovah exclusively. Okay? So there's that promise. They're without God. Not that they're without gods. They certainly had plenty of them, right? But they did not have God. Okay? And so therefore, without God, then they have no hope. Okay? Chuck?
To have a relationship with God, you have to enter into his covenant.
Right.
His covenant is his promise. And his promise is, if you will be my people, I will be your God.
Right.
So without that, the proselytes, I guess, could.
Yeah, yeah.
That covenant with God.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They accepted that.
But without that, we hear his covenant, the gospel, and we say, yes, I want to enter into that covenant with you.
Okay.
Then we have God.
All right. Now, here's a little twist here I'm going to throw at you a second, all right? In order to be in a covenant with someone, what typically do you have involved in that covenant? Okay, there's a contract, which means there are typically what?
Rules to follow.
There are rules or terms of the contract or covenant, right? And the idea behind that is that if you're going to be part of this covenant, then here's the terms that you've got to follow, right? Everybody with me so far? Okay, now who set the terms for the covenant with God? God did, okay? All right? It's just up to people, men, to decide whether they want to accept the terms, right? All right, so here's something to think about. So here Paul is talking about and making a distinction between the Jews, okay, who were part of the covenant, and the Gentiles who were not, right? But how often, especially throughout the Old Testament, and then we see leading up to the time of Christ, where the Israelites, the Jews themselves, did not adhere to the terms of the covenant. Okay? But, even though they did not adhere to the terms of the covenant, how did they consider themselves?
Still God.
Set apart.
Yeah, we're okay because why? Because we're Jews. You see? Even though they, again, so often did not keep the terms of the covenant, but they felt that they were okay because they were Jews. And that plays into this whole discussion that Paul is having here concerning the Gentiles and them coming into the covenant. All right? Which the Jews had a difficult time with. All right? So that is their condition that he's talking about before Christ, right? You were who formerly were Gentiles by birth, okay? Uncircumcised, that's how you referred to. You were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. Verse 13, but, okay? Now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. All right? So again, what is Paul emphasizing here? Remember, keep in mind, in the previous part we looked at, we talked about as we began this morning, how is it that we are saved? What does he say? We're saved by grace, right? Okay, through faith, and that by the blood of Christ, right? So now, he's saying, you've been separated. Basically, Summer, you were lost, okay? But now, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. What is that saying to the Gentiles back then? And what does it say to us today? All right, we have hope, okay? How do we obtain that hope?
Through
the blood of Christ, okay? And that hope is open to everybody.
Just as the Jews felt they were special and set apart, now everyone has that opportunity.
Exactly, exactly. So no longer is there that, you know, you're far away. Okay, and think of the imagery. It's like, as far as the Jews were concerned, God is right here, and there in his hand, there, right there. The Gentiles are way over here, okay? They don't have a chance. But Paul here is saying, through the blood of Christ, what's happened? You have been brought near. Okay? You've been brought near. You're no longer far away from God. You've been brought near. All right? So, and that is through the blood of Christ that has happened. Verse 14, he says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations." All right, so, what is Paul referring to in this particular part? Do what?
The law of Moses.
The law of Moses, okay. But what else is he saying here?
There's no more division,
no more distinction between Jew and Gentile. As far as God is concerned, they are all one. What is the image or the symbol that indicates that dividing wall being torn down?
The curtain
in the temple. Okay? The curtain in the temple, it was torn in two from top
to bottom.
Okay?
It was a very tall curtain.
Yes, it was. It was a very tall curtain. Okay? But that curtain has been, it was torn in two, and that is symbolical of that dividing wall being torn apart, being torn down. Okay? Because in that, if you go back to the tabernacle and where that was, right? That curtain, where was it in the tabernacle? Between the holy place and between the holy of holies, right? Okay? And who was allowed access behind the curtain? Only the high priest. So in other words, the idea there was that access is limited. And only to the representative before God of the Israelite people. So on behalf of the Jews, the high priest would go there and offer the sacrifices and sprinkle the blood and so forth. But when Jesus died on the cross, that curtain being torn in two, all right, now what that represents is that now everybody has access to God. You see? There is no more, Paul says, no more dividing wall there. Okay? And he calls it a dividing wall of hostility. Why refer to it that way?
The Jews were not nice to the Gentiles.
Yeah, that's putting it mildly. Okay?
That's why I'm actually surprised there were any proselytes. I mean, was that very common?
Apparently so. Apparently so.
Because those caddies that weren't very nice, it wasn't like they were going out and I didn't picture them knocking on doors evangelizing.
Well, you have to keep in mind, okay? You know, just like today, we have, do we not have people who are, I'll just use this term, good Christians and folks who are not so good Christians? In other words, in our behavior? That turn people off because they're not really doing what they're supposed to be doing in Christ? And then we have those who are, even though we're not perfect, they're trying to do what needs to be. All right, well, you know, you have people out there in the world today who encounter both, don't they?
Well, and we discussed this Wednesday night in Ladies' Bible class. Jesus was looked down upon because he ate with the tax collectors.
Right, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
The very people, and he said, those are the people that need.
Exactly, tax collectors and sinners. Mm-hmm. But see, absolutely, I think it's the same situation. Yeah, you have, you know, a lot of Jews who aren't doing what they're supposed to do, and they don't want anything to do with Gentiles, and, you know, and so forth. But you have others who, you know, are you know, reaching out and telling people about God and so forth. So if they have a positive encounter with Jews, then that may be something that they would go, well, yeah, I, you know. And so, again, it's not that much different from today, right? But understand, when Paul uses the term hostility, it is probably the most appropriate term, because it wasn't like they just didn't like them. They were hostile toward the Gentiles, okay? So, you know, it was things like, you know, they weren't allowed to go. Well, what Peter says when he goes to Cornelius' house, you know that it is against our law to do what? To enter into the home of a Gentile, or to associate with him, right? Okay? So they were, you know, no, you're a Gentile, I can't go in your house, I can't associate with you. And there was, you know, it was like if a Jew was walking down, you know, I don't know, they had to do many sidewalks, but, you know, walking down this side of the road or what have you, and a Gentile was coming toward them, you know, oftentimes, you know, the stories are, you know, that Jew would cross over to the other side of the road and walk on past and then cross back over because they did not want to get too close to a Gentile. Okay? That's how bad the Jews treated Gentiles, how they looked upon them as being the scum of the earth. Okay? And as far as they were concerned, the only thing that was possibly worse than a Gentile was what? A Samaritan. Because they, Samaritans, were half-breeds. Okay? They're part Jew and they're part Gentile. But there was a tremendous amount of hostility between Jews and Gentiles. All right? Judy?
Well, if you go back, Paul had a lot of issues with even some of his fellow apostles.
Yeah.
Because they wanted to force us to accept these Christians now, they got to be circumcised,
right,
like we were, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul had to come down on them. Why do
yeah.
you want to burden them with this?
Right. And understand that issue, that's a big issue at this time, you know, in the church. The whole thing about Gentiles just being allowed into the church, and you go back over to Acts and you look at Paul is out preaching to the Gentiles, and, you know, we look at Peter when he goes to Cornelius' house and he goes back to Jerusalem, what does he got to do? Well, no, what does Peter have to do after he's been at Cornelius' house? He's got to go explain himself, doesn't he?
No.
Yeah, he's got to go explain some things about going into a Gentile's house, you see? And that's where we read in chapter 11 about him, you know, telling about what happened when he went there and started speaking. The Holy Spirit came upon him and so forth. And the Jews there then express, you see, now we know that God is not a respecter of persons, and then salvation is open to all men. But understand, this was a difficult thing. This is not like, you know, easy road to transition to Jews accepting Gentiles. All right? So you have two major problems that are going on at this time, okay? First of all, you have those Jews who are not accepting Christ as the Messiah. Okay, everybody with me? All right. Then you have those Jews who have accepted Christ, but they're having difficulty letting go of the law. And what happens is, as this thing transitions where Gentiles are coming into the church, all right, then the position of many of the Jewish Christians is that, okay, we got to let them in, we got to let them in, but they got to follow the law. Okay? And so they have to be circumcised. And that brings up, Judy, what you were mentioning a moment ago. They got to be circumcised. They got to keep the law and so on and so forth. And that's, so you have that particular amount of hostility between Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians. Okay? And so Paul, in this statement, this hostility, I think Paul is referring to that as well. There's still a lot of hostility between Jews and Gentiles. Those Jews, it's like, okay, we'll accept them, but here's the conditions. But remember, we talked about the terms of the covenant, and who gets to set those terms?
God
does, right? But here it was a situation where Jewish Christians were trying to set the terms of the covenant for the Gentiles with God. And they're setting terms that God did not set up. In fact, they're setting terms that God had done away with, and that's what Paul specifically is saying here. You see? That curtain has been torn too. He removed that dividing wall of hostility by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. Okay? So he did away with all of that. So for the Jews to insist that Gentiles still have to keep that law, and by the way, for the most part, they were trying to keep it themselves also. Okay? And then what they're saying is, okay, now the Gentiles can come in, but they've got to keep this law. And Paul is saying, he's done away with it. Kathy?
I would just kind of struggle with this, because I know Abraham, before he was called by God, was a Gentile.
Everybody was.
Everybody was. And in the beginning he said that everyone, the whole world, is able to be saved. But yet it sounds like God is kind of a respecter of persons up to Cornelius, because that, or when the thing was changed, and it, because he had his special people. So in that respect,
well, no.
Okay.
And here's why. All right. God's original intention, all the way back to the Garden of Eden, all right, that long before Abraham ever came around, God's original intention was to do what? Save everyone. Everyone. God wants everyone, right? And so all through the whole time period before Abraham came along, which includes Noah, right? And so God's intention hasn't changed. Here's another interesting part about this whole thing. When God made his covenant with Abraham, and as we talk about all the time, we mentioned earlier, that covenant basically said what? Through you, all nations. So we know that God's intention in that was for all nations to be saved, right? Okay. Now, how long was it after God made that promise to Abraham before he gave the law to Moses?
400 years.
Well, they were the Israelites were in Egypt in slavery for 400 years, right? Okay, and it was before that, okay? Because you have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All right, and Jacob and his family are the ones that went into Egypt. All right, so you're talking about three generations from Abraham to Jacob before they went into Israel, into Egypt. All right, but it wasn't until they came out of Egypt that God gave them the law. Now, did the promise to Abraham still, was it still in force? Absolutely. So what is the law? How did that come into play in terms of what God wanted in this separate nation?
I guess they weren't behaving. They needed rules.
Well, Absolutely, but here's the thing. God had a plan, right? That he wants to save mankind. And did he not from the very beginning know that Jesus was going to come and die on the cross? How do we know that? Genesis 3:15, right? Okay, all right. So we know that was his plan from the beginning. But how is he going to carry out that plan? In other words, when you understand the importance of lineage and things of that nature, we know that what God did was he established a covenant with Abraham and his what? His descendants. All right? But that part of the promise had to do with where that Messiah or that Savior was going to come from. So that everybody would know that's where it came from. So in order to do that, God needed to establish a separate people. Okay? Where a lineage could be established and followed all the way to Christ. All right? Without that, then it's like, well, who is this guy? Where did he come from? You know, how do we know? But God established that.
That's right, because it was very important that everybody knew where they
came from. Where they were coming from and that where the Messiah was coming from. All right? That, because that goes back to the promise. Through you or your seed, all nations of the earth would be blessed. So God established a separate people. Remember, the family of Jacob went into Egypt as a family, but 400 years later they came out as a nation. Okay? And through the law of Moses, God established them as a separate nation from all the other nations on the earth. Okay? Where he did have a very special, exclusive relationship with the Israelite people as a nation.
Okay? Exclusive relationship, not respecter of persons.
Right. He had an exclusive relationship with them, but God's intention has always been that all nations of the earth would be saved. So he never intended for Israel to shut themselves off from everyone else. In fact, you go and you read what the prophets have to say over and over again. They refer to Israel as being what? A light to the Gentiles. Okay? The law of Moses gave the Israelite people the parameters of how they were to live so that the Gentiles would look at them and say, that's what we want. We want their God. And they would be drawn to God through the Israelite nation.
But they have to be circumcised.
Well, those who came under that time would have been. Okay? As long as the law is in effect. But you understand my point here is that God, that was his intention for the Israelite people as a nation, for them to be a light to the Gentiles, to draw people to God. Not to say, no, you're lost, we don't want to have anything to do with you, you know, stay away from us because we're special people. That was never God's intention. The Israelites did that by not following through what God intended for them to do as a people. That's where the problem came in. You see, now, within the law of Moses, there were some very specific things that God said of keeping themselves separate from the nations of the world. They weren't to intermarry with Gentiles and so forth. Why?
Because they would bring idols in.
Right, because they would be drawn away from God, you see. And again, God's intention was, oh, you draw people to me. I don't want you being drawn away from me to the Gentiles. So there's some very specific things that they were told they needed to maintain that distance, so to speak, so that they did not get defiled in that way by going after the gods of the Gentiles.
Well, we still have a portion of that now that we're told not to be yoked with unbelievers.
Exactly.
And to, yes, we are to go and spread the word, but not conform to the world. And
exactly.
That, so.
Exactly. And at the same time, we are still supposed to be what to the world?
A light.
You know, Jesus says, you are the light of the world, right? And so the same thing is true of the Israelite people as a nation. That's how God intended for them to be. But they, much like people today, I mean, do we not have a lot of Christians who are going, let's be real careful about who we let in those doors over there. You know, and, you know, we got folks out here that, we don't want to associate with those kind of people. You know, it's no different than what the Gentile, what the Jews did. I saw a hand back up here a moment ago. Judy?
I was just going to say, we also have to remember that where do all the nations come from? They came from the same two people.
Yeah, exactly.
So God's intention was in the beginning for all of us to be the same.
Exactly.
And then at no time that God, even from the beginning on through Moses and everything, at no time did God forbid even the Gentiles to become part of the Israel nation.
No, he did not.
As long as they did what they needed to do.
Exactly, exactly.
And, you know, you look at Ruth, and you look at all of the women that have come in.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Where did they come from? They came from...
They were Gentiles.
Gentile nations.
Yeah. So, you know, again, the idea is, and that's why I went all the way back to Abraham and realizing, you know, that from the very beginning, God's intention was that all men would be brought to him, okay? But he chose this path for this people, these Israelite people as a nation, to be the ones that would draw people to him, not to separate themselves and say, we don't want to have anything to do with it, not to have this hostility that Paul is talking about here. That was never God's intention, you see? But then again, if you think about it, God intended for them to keep all his laws too, didn't he? How well did that work? You say? So therefore, by the time that Christ came along, we see the problem that the Jews are not accepting him. Okay? And in part, that was because of the message that he was proclaiming was what? Salvation to all men. You say? You know, and there were some incidents when Jesus was doing things and teaching things when, you know, he favored Gentiles over Jews, and that riled some feathers, as the saying goes, you see, because of the hostility that existed between the Jews and the Gentiles. All right? Judy, did you have another comment?
Yeah, I was just going to say that also through all of this, through the Israel nations, God's power was revealed too to the Gentiles.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Look at Rahab. You know, we heard and seen what your God has done for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we want a part of this. And so I think it served multiple possibilities to show to the world through the Israel nation.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, just look at the story of Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and how they influenced the king, you know, and with their standing on God's word and so forth. And that's what they were supposed to be doing. And you see the positive effect that had.
Exactly.
You see? But when all you're doing is just being hostile to those who are outside, that's certainly not what God wanted. And so Paul here is emphasizing that what happened through Christ is that he's gotten rid of that. You see? He goes on to say, look at the second part of verse 15. He says, his purpose was to create in himself, how many?
One
new man out of the two, thus making peace. And in this one body, to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. All right? So here, he's talking about you got two separate bodies, okay? And God's purpose was to do what?
Reunite them.
To get rid of that hostility and to bring and make one body. All right? Which we have today, which is referred to as what? What's the body that he's talking about?
Body of Christ.
It's the body of Christ or the church.
Church.
Okay? That there is one church. All right? One body that belongs to Christ. And it's made up of Jews and Gentiles. And that's what his purpose was, to remove that barrier that separated the two and to bring all together into one body. All right? Chuck?
Do we understand how impossible that situation was? For him to bring us all together was impossible. Look at where they're at. Look how they looked at one another. Look at the division. But only Christ can do that.
Yes.
And I just think about this country, the hostility. Mm-hmm. And the only answer is Christ, and here's the problem.
Yep.
They want to block out the truth. Mm-hmm. The truth is Jesus Christ is the only answer to the hostility and the separation. They're separating and they want to keep Christ out.
Yeah.
And he's the only answer.
Yep. That's the only way for hostility to be removed.
Okay.
So, again, keep in mind that he identifies that as God's purpose, right? Was to no longer have two groups, but one. So he's bringing the two together and making one body out of the two. So, therefore, the church, as far as God is concerned, is made up of everybody. There is no distinction in the church. Okay? Between Jew or Gentile, later on Paul would speak about there's, he say there's no difference between what? Jews or Greeks, slave or free, male or female, we are all, he says, what? One in Christ Jesus. Denise?
I think the big part of the problem is, you got to remember, for the Jews, this is their birthright. They were
born into
this. And it'd be like your parents adopting someone, and then now they get part of what's in the will or something. And I think about the parable of the workers at the vineyard.
Right.
We've been in this all along, and they're just now coming into this, and they get the same reward that we do.
Oh, yeah.
And so I don't condone it, but I kind of understand what their feeling was on this. This is ours. We were given this. We're the special people.
Oh, yeah. And well, not only that, but I'll give you another example. I mean, just like for myself personally, when I was, I left Catholicism, and going to, trying to find out what's the truth, 22 years of living that and being taught all of those things, that was not something that I let go of very easily, even though I was already like, I don't want this, okay? I understand this isn't where I need to be, but all of that is still up here.
All those old habits die hard.
Yeah, and you don't just walk away, don't just go, none of that matters anymore. Yeah, it's a process that you've got to work through, and coming to a point where you accept all of those things, the new things, as they should be. So I can understand how these Jews are going, wait a minute, this ain't right. You see, and they're gonna fight against it because it goes against everything they have always believed and always known.
We also have to remember that when we have new members, especially that maybe had no religious background or were so deep, that they're going to make mistakes. Yeah. And we've got to remember to be there to help lift them up. Because I think that's the other issue, too, is you're not doing it right.
Yeah. Well, not only that, but we got to, we make mistakes
exactly all
the time ourselves, too, we'll pick up here next week, but again, the main thing here is keeping in mind what God's intention was and what his purpose was, is to make one body that includes all men. All right? Okay, thank you all very much.